ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Adventures in Truth. My name is Jim Case. I'm your host today. And I love hearing that intro. I love seeing that intro. And I want to thank Lauren for making such a great intro for the show. And there are notes in the show notes about how you can reach Lauren if you're interested in having him do some work for you. But super excited to be here today. Today is a conversation with Moshe, and we're going to talk a bit about what you do when you don't know what to do. So this should be a fun conversation. Moshe will be joining us in just a few minutes and tell you a little bit about the show to get us started. Our adventure in truth is really about diving into all those things that, as we say, challenge all beliefs. We want to explore the things that we hold as the way it is, so to speak, or the way that we think it's supposed to be, and kind of just look at it, just open it up and look at it and present a new form or a new way of stepping into some of these things so that we can shift ultimately from a fear-based experience to an opportunity-based experience. And that's what this is really all about in the end, is providing ways for you to step onto the platform of your transformation. And doing that is about learning how to shift from a fear-based experience to an opportunity-based experience. So each show, we try to focus ourselves and focus our content so that we're sharing those things in depth and giving you tools and giving you perspective that you can literally take into the world and start using. So to get us started, I want to talk a little bit with you about something that I'm super excited about, and that is my new book. It's coming out here in September, end of September, in fall. This is a really quite an extraordinary book, and I'm very, very happy with how it's turned out. I'm working with an amazing editor and production team to bring this book out. Again, the core of this, like all what I do is all about how do I shift from a fear-based experience to an opportunity-based experience. And this book really dives deeply into that, really focuses into what it is, what fear consciousness is, how it works, how it's evolved, how we use it in our culture, but more importantly, how you can identify it, how you can shift out of it, and how you can create a fearless experience, a non-fear-based experience, an opportunity-based experience. It's really a great book. Pre-sales are going to be starting very soon, so we'll hope to see you at our website and at our book events. They're going to be exciting, so that's all coming up here very soon. But Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love is going to be available in the fall. Looking forward to sharing that with you then. All right. Thank you for indulging me there that minute. So we are, again, going to have a conversation with Moshe today. What do you do when you don't know what to do? And I'm very interested to let Moshe bring us into that conversation. But of course, before we begin, we're going to start with a moment to bring us into focus. And I like to do this every show after we talk a little bit about what's happening to give everybody the chance to get present right now. Even if the presence is only for a second here, I want you to get present in your experience. And we do that using the breath. And if you've been a part of the show at all, you know, through our wellness program, we talk about utilizing the breath and understanding that the breath is the foundation of wellness for all of us, because using breath and managing breath shifts and changes our energy. Brings in new energy, because breath is life force. It is the energy that animates who we are. So So what I want you to do right now, if you would, is just take a moment, wherever you are, just get present in your body. Feel your feet wherever they are. If your feet are on the floor, feel the connection to the earth. If you're sitting, feel that connection coming out of the base of your spine and connecting to the earth. But just close your eyes for a moment and feel your way into what you're experiencing in this moment. What are you feeling? How is your body feeling? What do you notice? Without reaction, without too much focus, just be in awareness. Awareness just allows experience to wash over you. So be in awareness as your eyes are closed and you're just observing as you take your consciousness through your body and through your energy. And what we're going to do next is we're going to use the breath again. We're going to inhale to a count of four through the nose. We're going to, at the top, we're going to hold just for a second, gently relaxing the body. And then we're going to release it from the mouth to a count of six. And at the bottom, you're also going to rest for a count or two and relax the body so that you can relax in emptiness. And then re-engage into four, holding at the top, relaxing, releasing, and again, in through the nose is all the inhale, out through the mouth is the exhale. So keeping that focus internally, keeping that focus inside of self, inside of your own field, just being aware of your breath now. You're going to breathe in through the nose, two, three, four. At the top, we're holding, relaxing, and now releasing. Two, three, four, five, six, and relax in the emptiness for just a moment. And now open and inhale. Two, three, filling all the way. Four, at the top, we're holding and relaxing. Releasing out of the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. And again, in the bottom, empty and release. And open, inhale. Two, three, four, filling all the way, resting at the top. And then releasing from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, feeling that relax and ease in the emptiness, opening and inhaling again. Two, three, four, at the top, we're full and relaxed as we release from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, resting at the bottom and carry on at your own pace for a moment. We'll go a few more rounds of breath. Breathing fully and completely, expanding the lungs as you reach the top, as you rest, relax, and then release. You're purging all of that old energy, all of that stale air out of the lungs, bringing in new energy as you reach the bottom, releasing all, every last bit of that air, and then relaxing in the emptiness. Filling it up again. All that rush of fresh energy and air filling your body, every cell being stimulated by that inflow of oxygen and energy as you reach the top and surrender it and release the old energy. Good. And just allow yourself to relax into this moment now. Feel the calm. Feel the centeredness. Just be in this moment. And gently bring yourself back when you're ready. Good morning, Moshe.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Good to see you.
You as well. How are you?
Good.
Good. Good, good. We are ready for another amazing conversation with Moshe. Here we go.
Let's do it.
What to do when you don't know what to do. I'm going to turn this over to you to bring it to life, to get our conversation started.
Sure. Well, this came up when you and I were talking about a possible topic for today. And we had an idea from last time that both of us thought were good, and then that didn't seem to carry forth energy to this week. And so we settled on, well, we don't know what to do, so let's talk about that. What to do when you don't know what to do. So it was born out of the experience between us just a few days ago. And to me, one of the things to do is the exercise you just led us through, to breathe. Mm. So when I run into not knowing what to do, if I'm aware enough to do it, I just, and that settles things so I can see choices more clearly and get this spinning out of my mind. I think what happens to most of us when we don't know what to do is we focus on, we don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So for example, if I'm in a situation, I don't know what to do, I'm running through my head, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. And that's occupying my whole consciousness and taking up my whole ability to think. And it's squandering energy, in my opinion.
Yeah, good. I like that. When I was setting up the show, the next tag here, the doobie doobie doo, this thought process really sent me down a path of that whole be do have process, which we'll get into in a moment. But I was struck by the idea of, if you don't know what to do, what do you do? And in a way, it kind of made me laugh, because you know me, I'm doing is at the end of the train, not at the beginning of the train. So when you don't know what to do, kind of like, well, because there's maybe nothing to do, or maybe the doing is the problem, maybe the doing is the hang up, maybe the doing, the focus on the doing is not allowing opportunity in other ways, which we get through stepping back and being. So good.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I'm fine. I'm good.
Okay. I see you as an exemplar of someone who trusts that feeling of when it's time to do. And mm-hmm. for listeners and viewers, I can't tell you how many times Jim has has just sat with not knowing and waiting for the inspiration of what to do. Sometimes very frustrated about it, but always.
I don't know what you mean.
Yes, but always willing to wait for that inspiration, even if that means doing nothing for a long period of time. And I think that builds trust muscles significantly and our ability to discern. So you've been a great role model in that, just waiting to know and not just taking action for the sake of doing something.
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that. It's not selling necessarily melodramatic. It's kind of hard one in that it is, it's something that you have to be attentive to consistently, because we are so entrained to the do model. We are so just relentlessly pummeled with the idea that if we're not doing, we're not anything. And if we're not doing, we're not successful. If we're not doing, we're not worthy. If we're, you know, just everything seems to be tied to, you know, you can scroll through Facebook and all of those places that are going to talk about what are you doing? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you doing, you know, wanting to reinforce this model that it's all about what we do. And what I've discovered is that that's actually not the case. But it requires a bit of focus to make that happen on a consistent basis.
Well, it also brings up a very big and thorny question about fundamentally, why are we here? And so the do model suggests that we're here to produce, to accomplish, to get stuff done. And if all we think of is life, if we conceive of life as simply, I'm in this body for however many years in this physical reality, and when I die, I'm done, and what's left behind is whatever I accomplished. In that model, it kind of makes sense, I think, to focus on do to some degree, or it's more there's, to me, a more sensible rationale. If, however, we think differently and say we're just these, like Wayne Dyer talked about, we're these souls having a physical experience, and this is one of many, then it's different. Then maybe our job is just to be. Mm. And that's really tough in this culture, because it leads people to start thinking, you mean do nothing, just be lazy, be sit around, don't depend on others. And it doesn't mean that at all.
No.
But I wonder if you can speak to that idea of backing up the do versus be distinction, or the be do have triumvirate into why we're here. Just a simple morning question.
Give me just a moment here. Well, okay. So I like what you were saying in that. I want to emphasize that there isn't really wrong choices in this, because at some point things are going to evolve regardless of the path you take to bring you closer and closer to the understanding of beingness. And for those who focus their lives into the doingness to leave a legacy, to, you know, you get in, you do your thing, you run it out. And then when it's over, you know, whatever you have left. And that's not necessarily a bad thing if that's where your alignment is. So if that's really truly where your joy is, if that's really truly where you are the best, the most, the fullest, then by all means continue. If you don't see the or understand the idea of being before doing, that's okay too. That's part of what we're doing here today, is to talk about that. But it's understanding that our concept of doing, from my perspective, is highly overrated. And I'm ultimately not, I love using my energy, but I want to use my energy in constructive and ways that continue to grow and expand it instead of deplete it. So I find that when you do the doing game consistently, you're utilizing all of your physical energy and not much of your larger energy. So it's that experience of get up, grind it out, grind it out, grind it out, go to the gym, grind it out, come home, collapse, eat, go to bed. It's that cycle of repetitiveness that in construct sounds like a great idea, but I don't think it fulfills the question of why are we here? I don't think we're here to be on a treadmill. I wasn't trying to reference that to working out. I mean, treadmill in the giant sense of being on the same treadmill that everybody else is on, get up, go to work, do your thing, blah, 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 blah. So in the we've talked about the be do have model before, but I learned this as sort of like the foundation of creation. And I see it everywhere, because there is this period of everything has this period of beingness. Even if you think about a plant, a new plant that's growing, it's got to be in a state of itself and its beingness in order to coalesce the energy to grow roots, to grow and to bloom into something that requires beingness. Because what are they doing? Are they okay, I'm going to pop a leaf today. No, it's just a being experience, right? So I think humans are the same in that energy is energy. So energy flows, we are stimulated by the energy around us and in the world around us. And that stimulation creates desire. It stimulates, I want to feel, I want to be, I want to experience this. And so where the dichotomy comes in that is that we immediately have been, and I believe, again, part of our training in the human experience has been, once you identify the desire, then beat it to death till you get it there. So what do I mean by that? Well, okay, the desire, when I'm really being honest with myself, the desire is for more sense of, say it's more sense of safety. I want to feel safer in the world. And so how that translates is I want a car that has XYZ protection and role protection, and I want a house that has this, and I want a house with security, and I want a fence around it, and so I start to make all of these determinations out of my will and out of my mind about how I think it should look, instead of staying in the beingness of that feeling of safety and beginning to generate that feeling of how safe I feel. And then out of that feeling comes the motivation or the inspiration to take steps. Sometimes those steps are huge. Sometimes those steps are small. But it's all kind of this prompting thing that I experienced that goes on where you're in the beingness and you're kind of in that desire and you're enjoying the unfolding of it. And because you're aligned and connected to the experience of it, it stimulates you to, ooh, hey, call this person. Ooh, hey, go check this thing out. I know I've shared the story many times and it happens every day in my world because that's how I live. I don't want to push the envelope. So when I say push the envelope, I don't want to push and shove. I don't want to put resistance in my creation process. If resistance is going to show up, it's a natural course of the process and something to be observed or managed in the process. But it isn't something I have to fight with because the resistance that I'm going to experience is only sourced through here. It's only coming from me out pictured here. So I'm going to be in my experience until I feel inspired to do something. And then when I do, what happens is stuff shows up. Things come together. And believe it or not, in ways that you could never imagine, because the more you can do the beingness piece, the more you're unattached to how it occurs. And when you're unattached to how it occurs, it unfolds in ways that you couldn't have imagined because it's satisfying so many different levels of your being. And it's reminding me of things like settling karma or releasing negative energies, that all of that doesn't require a fight. It requires surrender. So those things come from beingness, and out of beingness, the doing of the surrender, the doing of releasing enables or engages you to step into something you may not have stepped into before, which is going to enable you to completely release the experience you were having. So tying that back around to the question of why are we here? The why we're here is the beingness to me, and understanding how being leads to doing leads to having. And so we explore all that. Right? We get out and we do. We pound, we pound, we pound, we pound. We go, is this really what it's all about? I mean, Moshe, how many people do you know in the world who pound it out every day that go, this is the best experience ever?
Somewhere between zero and none.
Some talk to them. So yeah, you know, when they get the big sale or they get the big thing and they're all good. And then the next, however long it is, you know, it's a source of frustration. So,
right.
Did I bring it full circle? Did we come home with that question?
Yeah, you did. And that ties into the whole idea of being attached to the outcomes, which is part of that grind. And yeah, I got the sale. I'm good. I'm happy until I'm not, because now I need to make another sale and hit my number. I do want to emphasize one word you used a few times was the word experience. Mm. And I've been learning recently, or it's been... I've been understanding, maybe is the better word, that what's different about our physical reality is we can experience. So if people believe in the soul realm, a soul without a physical body cannot experience. It can conceive of what things would be like, but it cannot experience. And arguably that's the reason for existence. Some of this is from a book, it's been around a while, but you and I talked about it, called Conversations with God. Mm-hmm. And in there, that point is made that we're here, that there's a desire from God and for souls to experience. And for that, there needs to be contrast. There needs to be this versus that. And it needs to go beyond the idea, the ability to see or conceive of something into into the being in it and the doing and even the having. So a different perspective. It's sometimes a lot to get our minds around.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why it's so, the simpler you can keep it initially. I go through that a lot as we do the show and with the writing of the book and wanting to be able to present concepts that are digestible. Or at least you can start chewing on them a little bit. You know, you can take a mouthful and just sort of sit with it and see where it goes, as opposed to here it is, digest this. And so to your point, there are quite a number of really great, I think, potential explanations that all seem to sort of say the same thing. You know, basically we're here being God realized and exploring this time and space reality as that. And so what does that mean? Well, it means we need to be with that experience to understand what we're here to do with that experience. Another way to look at it. There is something I'm missing, and I'm not sure if I was getting to it later. Ah, yeah, you were talking about not know earlier. Another super important piece to this puzzle of what do you do when you don't know what to do? For me, when you hit a doing wall, you've simply run out of what is inspiring you in the moment. And at some point, if you hit a wall, to me, it means you shifted out of alignment into how. You shifted into will at some point if you hit a wall. Because I don't have the experience of there being a doing wall. What I have the experience of connecting to a desire or connecting to what I want to create or connecting to how I want something or what I'm thinking about unfolding and being in meditation in my quiet time with that, being out throughout my day, just in here and there, having experience or thoughts about it and waiting for that, allowing for that time of, okay, what's next? And what I found is we use a lot of energy in creation, and I don't think we realize it. It isn't that we are limited in our energy. It is we are bringing that energy through this physical vessel. This physical vessel is helping to focus that energy. So the condition of the vehicle is going to have some impact on our ability to bring that focus into life. So I got myself distracted somehow.
Yeah, you were circling back to the when you don't know what to do and relying on that, the guidance that comes in.
Yeah, so the doing, so what I found in the uncomfortable place in the be, do, have model is that when you've expended energy, when you've taken on that inspiration, so that inspiration to me is a much larger energy that's funneling down through my physical process to be able to be expressed because I'm attempting to manifest in this physical reality, right? So there's a transition period as energy is integrating and as I'm being able to understand it. So that is the key here again in the being this process. Being isn't about just sitting and doing this.
Right.
It's not about just keeping your fingers touching and breathing properly, although the breathing helps a lot. It is a process of engagement that continues indefinitely, because as you go through it, you focus your energy, you're juicing it up, you're really feeling good, and you're inspired to something, and you go, yes, I'm going to step over here, I'm going to get this done, I'm going to do whatever it is, and that happens. And then suddenly you're kind of feeling like, gosh, I don't know what to do now. Go ahead.
A really important distinction when you said being is not just sitting in a mudra and sitting meditating and breathing, because we misconstrue being as an absence of experience sometimes.
Well said.
And it's not that at all. Being can be very full and a beautiful experience. So in that sense, if we
and should be.
Yes. So if we consider having an experience doing, then there's doing embedded in being. And that might sound a little paradoxical, but I think where we get stuck, especially in the West, where there's such an emphasis on doing and productivity, and doing is measured by action, moving things. There's a movement of energy in what we traditionally think of as doing. And we misconstrue or we limit being to the absence of experience, then we're really shortchanging ourselves. So I think if people take one thing from this, it's that idea of being is full. And you said, ideally, it's how it should be. It's a very full experience. There's nothing missing from it. And it's not only a precursor to doing, it's complete in and of itself.
Yeah, very well said. And it, see, the being to me carries within it, when you are aligned in that desire, carries an anticipation. It's different than impatience, because it's not having this push desire. It's an anticipation. It's a lifting. This is getting so much. I'm getting so full of this energy. That's how you're creating, because you're re-stimulating. You're being in the field of this glorious thing that you want to create, and you're feeling into it, and it's creating this anticipation. And that builds as you continue to move down the path with it. But it's also filling the space of when there isn't something to do, because sometimes what you're perceiving as what needs to be done is actually more being, meaning I need more integration time for this energy that I am attempting to align with. Remember, you are taking something from absolute nothing. You are taking energy, turning it into something, and then being able to integrate that into this time and space reality, into your physical world, and then manifesting it for you to be able to see, taste, touch, smell, all that good stuff. So imagine the quantum amount of energy that is required for that, that has to pass through this vehicle, this body, in order for that to happen successfully. And it continues to happen every single moment of our life.
Yes, yes. And so that means a valid answer to the question, so Jim, what are you doing, is I'm just sitting with possibilities, or essentially saying I'm being. Mm-hmm. That's a reasonable answer to what are you doing.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just being right now.
Yeah.
Being with this idea, I'm being with that idea, I'm being with, because that saying, I'm looking for my alignment. What is stimulating me? What is activating my energy? And so beingness is allowing that exploration.
Yes. And over in the last few years, I've shifted my language. If someone asked me something like and my answer would be, I don't know, or I need to think about that. Now I say, I'll sit with that for a little bit. Because even thinking involves, I got to solve this. I got to figure it out. It's a self little s doing it all by me, doing it all by myself, instead of letting this much bigger energy come and guide me. Mm-hmm. When I don't know, circling back to the opening question of what do you do when you don't know what to do, is trusting that guidance. So I have in my office, I have a desk with a chair, and I have a couch I'm sitting on right now. Mm-hmm. I watch the ratio of how much chair time versus couch time. When I need to figure something out, I'll often lie down on my couch and just see what comes up. If I sit at my computer and start forcing it, it never works.
Yeah.
It's like when I wrote my book, it was so easy to write. It just came through me. And there was other parts. I want to make this point. I want to emphasize this. I'm going to say this. And I'd come up with words and I type them out. But then when I looked at them later, I thought, that's not it. There's no inspiration in that. That was very forced.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So I encourage listeners and viewers to consider their ratio of time, their ratio of work time spent doing this or doing the labor, and sitting in whatever form that takes for them, and just seeing what guidance comes in, and considering that part of the work.
Good. We're going to take a break on that note. We're going to come back in just a minute. Have a little commercial for my book. So we'll be back right after this, guys. Hello, everyone. Jim Case here with the Science of Transformation and Adventures in Truth podcast. I am super excited to tell you about my new book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love.
This book is a deep dive into the evolution of fear in our human experience. I truly believe this book will change your life. When you read it and integrate it and apply this new understanding of what fear is and how it works, how it's used, you see that fear truly is a choice, whether we're using it consciously or unconsciously. And that awareness will create quantum change in your life, and the freedom that you can experience is extraordinary. Head over to www.adventuresintruth.com and sign up for pre-sales and getting information about the distribution of the book. I'm excited to share it with you, as well as some excerpts going into the future. And thank you for being part of the Science of Transformation family and Adventures in Truth. Have an amazing day. All right, we're back. I'm having so much fun with this studio thing. It's just
it shows.
All kinds of interesting good stuff. So there's our address, adventuresintruth.com. You can head over there to find out stuff about the show and about the book. I'm sorry, Moshe, you were going to say?
I was going to say I had the good fortune to read an early version of, or a very recent version of your book before it's published.
It is which I greatly appreciate.
It is so good. But just a fair warning to others, and I strongly encourage people to get it because it will blow your mind. And there's a lot of holy shit moments.
I love that. I love holy shit moments.
Yeah, and WTF moments, because it'll challenge a lot of conventional thinking in really powerful ways. But you do it in a way that's, like you said earlier, it's bite-sized. It's not overwhelming, and it's not, I can't grasp this or take it in. You make it manageable and have great stories that bring things to life.
Right on. Thank you for that. It was a lot of fun in the coming together and the writing. I mean, the whole process has been extraordinary. And again, speaking to what we're here talking about today, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Perfect example is I had the experience of being inspired to write a book and had never even thought about it, really. I mean, even Moshe over time, you know, between, this is where conversations with Moshe came from, was our time together. And you know, you should be recording this. And my client saying, you should be writing this down. You should be writing a book. And me going, what am I going to write a book about? You know, I mean, like, I don't, and the whole idea of being on this side, looking on that side, going, because in this experience, especially the type of work that I do, that's sort of what you do. You know, you go the treadmill, you take the treadmill and you do the thing. And so it's interesting for me to be in this experience, trusting my own process, even though the treadmill is trying to impose itself in every direction, really having to sit with each part of it and saying, can I get my energy around this? Is this something, you know, is this part of the shadow portion of my personality? Am I sabotaging, or am I being true to who I am? That's why beingness is so darned important in the process. So here I am having a wonderful business, working with a lot of wonderful clients, having, you know, living in San Diego, it was going great. Coming home from Parker, Arizona with my husband and literally driving down the road, looking at a book that I'm writing, going, what the hell is going on right now? Yeah. Seeing the pages, writing, and I'm going, I know what the book is. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And then going home and thinking, cool, I had this download. I can write a book. Go. I'm sitting at my computer and nothing happened. And for months, nothing happened. And for months, I went, this makes no sense. Why would I get this inspiration and then not be able to access it? And again, being with the process, I don't know what I don't know. So I'm not going to push it. I may be frustrated and disappointed at times because I'm like, I don't get it. Why would I have that experience? I think you and I probably even had that conversation at one time or another.
Yes, we did.
And watching that unfold in such a magical way, because I stayed true to that desire of wanting to stay in beingness, because I don't know what I'm doing. And something my friend said to me, a friend of mine who has since passed but lived in Mexico, was an author, used my own words against me, not on purpose.
He turned to me after I shared my experience and said, "So now, Jim, you just got to do the work." And I went, "Excuse me?" Because you have to understand that was a sentence I used at least 300 times a day in my in my practice, was just do the work. That's all it takes. Do the work. And so that was one of those full circle moments of realizing, wow, I don't know what I'm doing. So I have to shift from this has got to come, this has got to go, I got to get this download, I got to pull it down and make it work, to I don't really know what I'm doing. How do I align with this energy now that I've been given? That was the shift that occurred in me after I came back from that trip, and I relaxed around it and went, oh, I really don't know what I'm doing. So let's let that unfold and see what happens. The next morning, I woke up with a sentence in my head, I want to take you on a journey. And that sentence was so backfilled with energy, and it was crazy. And I was just like, this is so cool. And I got up, and that's what I did. I sat at the computer and I typed, I want to take you on a journey. And 20 pages later, I was well on my way to the book. And every day or every other day would be a similar experience, because I realized I can't make this happen. I can't make this come into being. I have to let this unfold, because I don't know, again, I don't know what I don't know. And because it feels so huge, I just want to be present enough to access it, to present it, to do what I can with it. And so that began the process. So even after the book was written, it was another 2 years before we got to this point. So it's always a process. And it's, for me, a process of learning, integrating, understanding myself, and understanding the energies that I am attempting to align with.
Well, and there's a great deal of trust in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the ultimate challenge, is to hold on to that when things get difficult, like along the way. What if you ran out of money, or what if something happened that required intervention? What do you do?
Mm-hmm. Sit with it. Sit yeah. with it as best I can. You know, sometimes you're confronted with decisions that you have to make pretty quickly. But once you're used to, and once you're comfortable with what goes on in here, it's much easier to sort of differentiate. And, you know, sometimes you make a choice that you go, ugh, you know, later, you know, down the road a piece. And that happens still sometimes. The inspiration is there, but really it's the impatience that's creating this idea of, oh, I got to do this. And you step in to do it and go, One more time, I realized that I let my mind tell me what to do instead of let my beingness tell me what to do.
Right. And I have a couple examples of tools that might be useful to people listening.
Excellent.
When they're in that space of, I do need to do something, I don't know what to do or which choice to make. One is called, I learned this from Katie Wise, who's my voice teacher and an extraordinary musician out of Boulder, Colorado, singer-songwriter. And it's called embodied decision-making. So it's basically, this came up when deciding on places to live. I was living in Colorado, moving back to San Diego, and there were three options. So basically she said, imagine each option, picture it as best you can. And then put one mentally over there, one in, over there, and one over there. Step into the space of each and just breathe for a few cycles and notice. And I notice things like, well, when I step into this one, my body is going all over the place. Mm-hmm. Or when I step into this one, it's harder to breathe. When I step into this one, it's really calm. So that kind of embodied decision-making relies on the body's wisdom to give you input when your mind can't figure it out. It's really powerful. Another technique is I used the other day, I was writing an editorial. As I was frustrated, I was struck by the hearings in Washington, D.C. last week, where the big tech CEOs were coming in and basically saying, we didn't do anything wrong. Congress was saying, yes, you're too successful, so quit it. And realizing there's so much hypocrisy and contradiction in that, where we encourage companies, crush the competition. We're taught this in business schools, do profits first, all that stuff. And then these companies did that, and they succeeded wildly in terms of financial metrics. And now they're saying you're too big and too successful. We're calling you a monopoly, and we have rules against that called antitrust laws. And so pull it back. And there might have been illegalities and breaches of law and so on along the way. But fundamentally, it's the paradigm that's wrong. It's this warlike paradigm in business, and it should be love-based. That's what my book is about. So I felt moved to write this this op-ed and decide, where do I submit it? I was assuming the New York Times, because that's just what comes to mind is the place with the greatest visibility. Mm-hmm. And then somehow popped into my mind, no, the Washington Post, all this stuff happening in D.C., that's an appropriate outlet. Then it was the Atlantic Magazine. And then I was circling which one, and I couldn't decide. And I did the embodied decision making, and not one winner, so to speak, stood out. So then I said, I'm just going to start taking action. So I go to the websites of all three to get in from and get that email address for submitting. And I go to the Washington Post one, and something inside says, yeah, no, this isn't right. I go to the Atlantic one, and I'm ready to go, and something inside says, not yet. And I go to the New York Times, and it's, and my something inside said, start here. So it wasn't, I couldn't figure it out without engaging in some aspect of the doing and waiting for the signal. So rather than just sit and see what inspiration comes up, it was moving into the doing, but with an openness to get signals of yes or no. So that I found is another way to respond when you don't know what to do.
Yeah, I love that. That's I call that feeling into it. Same process. It's I love how it's distinct, where you take all of them and you feel into each opportunity there to kind of see what happens in your field. That's extraordinary and hugely powerful. I would acknowledge too that when you begin a process, you know, you're writing an article for publication. So there is a natural process, meaning in order for it to be published, it has to go somewhere. So you did the first step, you engaged and you wrote it, you did it, and now you're feeling out where is it going to go. So you're still feeling into the process, and you're still being moved by that feeling into the process. And that leads you to, let me explore, because I'm not quite clear. I'm going to explore this a little more. So I tend to find it more exploring. They talk about in different, if you think about infinite possibilities with Mike Dooley or Abraham Hicks, the same idea. It's all has this similar construct of just moving toward the thing of the object of your desire in whatever form that takes. It doesn't have to be a giant step. It can be a little toe that you're putting in the water. It could be nothing more than moving a piece of paper from one side of your desk to another, because it's going to create more attention for you. That may be the only step you have to take. Yeah. Or it can be, I'm going to explore these things, but they feel natural. You're not going into it. Am I correct? You're feeling an interest. You're feeling an anticipation, because here's this thing and it's looking for a home. I'm not trying to force a home. I'm just feeling into where the home is. Where is this going? And so it distinguishes itself in my mind a little bit, that it's yes, that you're doing things, but we're kind of looking at B capital B, do capital D, H capital A, have, meaning you can break down the definitions in lots of different ways, but in the being process, there are things that you're going to do. Of course, when we're talking about doing, we're talking about the things that inspire you as a result of being. So it's just the clarify the distinction and not muddy, and make sure the waters aren't muddy there. Sure. I think we hit that point, Moshe. Here we are, but we can come back. We're going to shift into questions and review. If you're out there, if you're able to engage with us either on the Science of Transformation Facebook page or Adventures in Truth Facebook page, you can type a question in. You can ask us questions or give comments if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. So coming back a little bit to this last topic, not knowing integration, why these need more room in our life. We were talking a little bit about this before the break earlier. not know is an extraordinary place of trust. Not know is that place where there is seemingly no information. It's sort of being in void, in a void space in a way. I find that those happen when you are taking on new energies. I find that when you are transitioning from a place of resistance to a place of non-resistance, and for whatever reason, in whatever category of your life, there is a period that I call not know. There's a period of neutrality and kind of, it's not no energy, it just isn't very directional. And it's a period of adjustment. Again, think about it in terms of anything. If you take anything, I'm thinking like a piece of paper, and you've had resistance, and so you've taken this piece of paper and you've resisted. When you suddenly go, oh, wait a second, this is a piece of paper that has some really great information on it, and you open this piece of paper up, it takes time to not tear the paper. It takes time to unfold from the resistance that you created by bearing down on this thing like you were doing. And so you take the paper and you start to spread it out, and you open it up, and as you do, you begin to see what's on the paper. And then this paper now has new information that you need to digest. So the not know is the period of, I lived so long with my paper like this, I didn't realize that I had all this information right in front of me. Now, what do I do? Well, now you not know for a while. Now you get to be in a space of quiet and just letting that integrate, letting that change, that shift in perspective, that change. You went from something completely compressed to something completely open. That's a whole new experience that you are not familiar with. Be patient, be gentle, because that's why these things take time. When you're in that beingness, it just takes time to unfold. And the unfolding is what allows for the inspiration to get you where you need to be in the least restrictive way possible, if you can allow that to happen.
Beautiful. That's such a powerful and simple example with that piece of paper that you're crushing and resisting, and then it takes time so you don't tear it or force it. It yeah. takes time to heal, so to speak. It reminds me that this is also true for most of us grow up with some restrictions where we're told, the teacher says, you're not good at math, or a parent says, you're not good at this. And so we learn, it's like that piece of paper being crushed. And as children, we hold on to that and we believe it and think, I guess I'm not good at math. I guess I'm not this. I guess I'm not that. And we no longer see or experience those parts of ourselves. It's like that paper being in your hand. And mm-hmm. when we start to question and say, maybe I am good at math. Maybe I can do these things, and I can paint. I can do more than I'm doing. In whatever capacity, it takes time for that healing to happen, and for that, like the paper to open up, for us to open up to that different reality. Maybe sometimes mm-hmm. for some people, it's an instant, like, holy shit, I was bearing that. Now this is me. This is yeah. me. But often it takes some time and patience to unfold and reveal itself, and to be able to be for that energy that was so repressed to be integrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And one other important part of this that I was thinking about as you were talking is that what happens typically, here we have our resistance in our paper, right? And we find that something happens in the situation that shifts our perspective to back to ourselves, and we go, oh my God, I feel terrible. I'm feeling so constricted. I'm gonna let me release some of this restriction. So we release the corner of the paper, and we release this much and think that we have done a magnificent job of surrendering all of the resistance that we have, except the rest of the resistance is still there. So this is important, because to Moshe's point, the relief is here, but the trust and the strength is in recognizing that you've just begun to peel back the corners of the paper. You released that much energy. Imagine if you can have the fortitude and the courage to stand in your truth and let that paper completely unfold. Then, to Moshe's point, you're talking major transformation.
Yes.
Because now you've allowed the full, you can see all of it. So the corner that you could see where it said, I'm good at math, was like, oh, cool, I'm good at math. But I'm good at so much more than math. I'm good at a lot of things. And the paper expands and unfolds, and the paper begins to show you that it's covered with all of the amazing things that you can do. And the only person who's held that paper shut is you. So I have no idea where that came from, other than I was completely obsessed with this piece of paper. So that was really awesome that it came together that way.
Yes.
But again, guys, I truly, honest to God, I don't make this stuff up. I truly, I'm sitting in front of my computer and there was a blank piece of paper sitting under my notes. And I suddenly wanted to crumple the piece of paper. That is exactly what took place inside of me. Crumple the paper. I'm like, okay, crumple the paper. Because that's inspiration. I mean, I'm goosebumps from head to toe because that's how easy it comes about. Just set yourself open to receiving whatever, you know, whatever is in this case, we're talking about, I don't know what to do when I don't know what to do. So I'm aligned to that whole idea of, isn't there so many cool things to do? And so not know, integration, being patient, those are all as important as the creation, because without them, the creation has no foundation. And then we're back to the hows. Now we're back to how I created my world, because it's created in the instability.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I love when you do things and you don't know why you're doing them or even that you're doing them. Like sometimes you'll say things, I've had this experience with you a lot, you don't know what you're saying. And it as the receiver, it feels different. Like you're, I know those words are coming through, Jim. He's not saying them.
Yeah,
so.
it's awesome. And get to do this. And, you know, that's one of the joys of this, having these conversations with you is we have such a good connection and just the stimulation that goes on. Back and forth, it's only gotten better.
Yeah,
gotten better.
And I think it's important to mention that to people listening or viewing that you too can experience this. What I experienced with Jim, you can be on the other end. He does sessions through Zoom or Skype or whatever, and it's amazing when that inspiration comes through him and right into you. It's really powerful.
Yeah, as I'm also really clear that it's not. It's your energy for you. It's not my energy for you. So it isn't, I just get to be an amplifier, which is an amazing experience. And has become so crystal clear over the years that I have an ability to amplify your energy back to you in a way that's different than you've experienced it before. And that ability changes everything because it changes. It helps people change their perspective when they didn't have a perspective to change to.
Can people do one session with you without committing to a whole program to try it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I encourage that because it's when you work with anyone, it's always about the alignment that you feel. It's about the connection that you feel. And if you're doing any therapy, any process, anything, that you don't feel that connection to, you should stop doing it because you're wasting your energy and your money. Yeah. You should be focusing that on the things that really fill you and really bring you those moments, those goosebump moments, those moments where Moshe goes, okay, we got to stop talking because I'm full. I can't take anymore. you know, those are amazing and wonderful because it's all driven on you because you're the one that's important in this equation. And I don't say that in any kind of false humility. I'm the one that's important in my equation, you know, yeah. But you got to have that importance in your own equation. So
yes.
I do want to take a moment here because Moshe has been so gracious and wonderful. And I silly me neglected from the beginning of the show to rant and rave about all the incredible things that he does and is doing. His book, The Amari Wave, is out. And if you're looking for understanding how to shift the construct of business out of this war mentality that he talked about earlier. Incredible book with very accessible concepts that give you a lot of great information and foundation for how to introduce this kind of new paradigm into business. www.theamariwave.com is where you can find his book. And Moshe, do you want to take a minute to share about that a little bit?
Sure. I appreciate you bringing it up. Yeah, the idea is to shift this paradigm from crush the competition, capture customers, rather predatory, to or simply businesses, a bunch of emotionally empty transactions, to something that has meaning. So like, when I go into Trader Joe's, I feel good. I feel connected. I feel uplifted. When I go into most supermarkets, it's kind of flat. So as customers, we want to give our money to businesses that make us feel good. So this book is about how to make customers and employees and others feel good by being uplifting and connecting. That's how I define love. And I'm working now with a very small number of CEOs and leadership teams on integrating this into their company. And that's companies that have an openness, a desire to do this. They might not know all the details. They don't need to, but really want to infuse that uplift the energy of love into their work.
Fantastic. And truly a great book. Get your hands on that. Well worth the read and the energy, because it gives you a lot of good information about how to move forward. So thanks everybody out there in E360 TV land. We appreciate you. Thanks for being a part of the Science of Transformation and the Adventures in Truth family. Look for both our books out there and join us again in a couple weeks. Moshe is going to be back in a couple weeks to carry on the next conversation with Moshe. So have an amazing day, everybody. Moshe, you as well. Great to see you as always. Thank you.
Take care. Bye, everybody. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.